Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
How do you like these festive opening times? This is the Luke and Pete Show with me, Pete Donaldson, and presenting to you for one night only, one afternoon only, one morning only, depending on when you are listening to this, Luke Aaron Moore.
That is the best entrance and intro you've given me in our 48 years of working together. What are our festive opening hours, Pete? We're just pushing on through,
breaking on through to the other side.
Yes, nice. What do you recommend? I mean, this is a pre-rec show because you're going away. Where are you right now?
I mean, you say I'm going away. Are you not going away? Are you not visiting Portsmouth at any point?
Yeah, only for a couple of days and I'll come back.
Well, that's the thing though, isn't it? It's like, I'm having a bit of a problem getting home because...
Trains are in up the spout.
I bought... 3 months ago, my ticket for the Grand Central train. Went first class because I thought there'll be a bit more room there.
They did
not assign me a seat for the journey. So what? Now they've emailed me saying, you might not get on the train because it's standing room only.
Huh.
Fucking jokers.
That's annoying.
Sell the seats that you've got and don't sell any more.
How much did you shell out for that?
150 quid.
That's unbelievable to stand.
So I've got a... It's the only day I can get back on Monday. I'm genuinely was looking into flying, but the journey that there is a direct flight, but to Newcastle. But then it's just getting back from Newcastle down there as well. It's just I wish I'd planned this better.
It's a shit show.
I wish I'd planned more of a shit show. The shit show.
Why don't you hire a car?
Because I can't drive.
You will not get caught.
Can't.
I'm telling
not
you.
On,
you won't
yeah,
get
not
caught.
On. They'll be looking for drunk drivers, not bad drivers. Or non-drivers.
Yeah.
This is what Skyscanner suggested one of the options I could take. 6:40 in the morning on Monday, flying from Heathrow Airport to Edinburgh, and then from Edinburgh, fly down to Southampton, and then Southampton up to Newcastle.
How much? Probably cheaper than the train.
Yeah, it is cheaper than the train, yes.
How can it be so bad? I mean, so I know I'm going to sound painfully naive here as a Southerner, but how can it be... so difficult.
Well, Hartley puts on a funny line, so we don't have the option. You got to change at Darlington and then Thornaby and then once again to get to Hartlepool.
I mean, how many loops of Chris Rea's Driving Home for Christmas are you going to have to listen to on that kind of journey?
I'm almost thinking I should just get a train to Darlington and just explain to the angry man that, you know, the train I've got on is the train I had ordered is full.
Just do that.
Alternative.
They won't stop you. They won't fine you for that.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Yeah. I might just hang out in King's Cross and just get on any train going north. It's like it's getting to the point where it's like, you know, when like the Chinese have to go home for Christmas or whatever national holidays they've got, I guess New Year and stuff. And some of them have to stay on a train for like 24 hours and they wear nappies so they can just wet themselves with impunity.
Are you looking for an excuse to wear a nappy again?
A little bit, yeah. The problem is I wear such tight trousers, you could be able to see the contours of my pampers.
You would, yeah. Mm. They probably do make them in your size, though.
They make nappies in anybody's size, really. Yeah.
Do they? The thin fabric of society fell apart last week as well. I was out with some friends. only for a couple of afternoon drinks, and I got ended up getting to head home about 5 p.m.
Mm.
Got as far as Victoria, which for those listening who don't know London very well, is one of the main stations serving the south of England, and we're asked to get a train back to where I live. And it was mad because I got the Victoria line to Victoria, went up the escalator, and it was like the end of days.
Yeah.
No trains. Like no. Zero trains. This is a train station with 25 platforms or whatever it is. No trains.
Electricity problems?
It's something to do with, maybe.
Mm.
But it was so busy, not only could you not get a train, you couldn't get back down to the underground because it was about 200 people deep trying to get back to the underground, which is basically a waste of time. And you couldn't get a bus because there were just throngs of people covering all the roads outside.
Mm.
They didn't give you any information on the Victoria line to tell you this. So otherwise I would have just stayed on the Victoria line. So anyway, to cut a long story short, it was just so busy because it's a big Christmas shopping day. The Star Wars premiere had happened.
Right.
Was happening. And this thing with Victoria. I had to walk for 30 minutes to get far enough away that I was able to get a bus or a cab or whatever.
Right.
It was absolutely ridiculous. And imagine if you had loads of bags and a load of kids or whatever. I mean, I was lucky. I had a backpack and a couple of bags. I mean, it was just absolute chaos.
Did you walk over Battersea Bridge?
No, I didn't. Yeah. No, I didn't. I didn't go that way. The reason I was in London is because keen listeners to the Luke and Pete show will know that I've been doing this Taskmaster thing.
Mm.
And on Wednesday of last week was the final.
Okay, yeah.
And the only instructions I got through the post for this particular one, task 12 of 12.
Bring your passport.
No, luckily it wasn't that bad. Luckily it wasn't that bad. It was try and get a train from Victoria. No, it was be in zone one at 12:30
right.
And await instructions.
Mm.
And I did that. I had a meeting and finished it about 12:15. Went literally stood on a street corner until 12:30, looked at my phone, WhatsApp came through from the taskmaster, and the task was find the taskmaster.
Right, okay.
And you could ask quick questions, and every 15 minutes you got a visual clue. And yeah, to be the first person to lay hands
on him. That's a nice idea.
Yeah, it's good. And he ended up being in a pub. I found him.
Drunk. He's quite sluggish with the answers after a while.
It only actually took me 29 minutes to find him.
Where was he?
He was in a pub called the Glass House Stores on Brewer Street.
Right, okay. And, I would have gone for Central because it's just easier for everyone, isn't it? I think even a responsible taskmaster would produce a place that everyone could get to.
My mate, he was told to go to Zone 1 and wait. Mm. Now, the Taskmaster doesn't live in London, so he's obviously, to him, Zone 1's going to be, Soho, Leicester Square, Comic-Con. My mate went to Borough and waited in Borough.
Yeah,
that's I was like, it's taking me ages to get here. So what do you expect? What do you expect?
Go to the centre. Yeah, come on, give yourself the best chance.
So I was crowned Taskmaster champion.
Oh, congratulations.
I've got the trophy on the mantelpiece at home.
Congratulations. Yeah, that's fantastic.
It was a lot of hard work throughout the year.
What were the visual clues? I'm fascinated to see whether
The first one was the photo of the interior of
the pub.
Piccadilly Tube Station.
Right, okay.
So, and he said in the line he was in a pub and the interior of Piccadilly Station.
Yeah.
Then there was the next photo was a photo of a poster of a production, like a West End production. Then you could look at what theatre it was at and see that the pub was on the same road.
Right, okay,
And then after that, I literally just went in every pub on that road until I found him.
I would have liked my odds on that one, to be honest. I'm quite perceptive and geeky about stuff.
The irony being that when he said he was going to, I asked him a few questions on WhatsApp and he said, and he had to get some items as well to take to him for extra points. And he said he was near Soho.
Mm.
And I thought he was going to be in Spanish Bar, because I also asked him if it was a pub relevant to
your past.
Yeah. Mm. And he said yes.
Right.
I thought he was going to be in Spanish Bar, which is on Oxford Street, north of Soho. So I just legged it all the way to North Soho.
Mm.
And I just replied, and then I messaged saying, are you north of Soho? No. Are you south of Soho? Yes. I had to run all the way back down.
Right.
The meeting I had was 400 feet from where he was sat.
Right.
In London, that's mad.
Soho's quite a movable feast, I find, in the way. I direct some Belgians to Carnaby Street recently.
Is that a euphemism? How much you pay for that?
Yeah, exactly. Will you help me direct some Belgians?
If someone comes to you and asks you for directions and you don't know, what do you do?
I get them off on.
Do you?
You don't
bluff it?
Nah.
See you later.
Nah. Get on my phone, help them out. Help them out.
Nothing is more embarrassing than just saying, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Pete, have you seen, I want to get away from being so London-centric.
Right.
It's a story that I saw in the news last week, which will infuriate you.
All right.
And it's accompanied by a baby wearing a flat cap as a picture.
Is it going to be babies of the Trotter Independent Trading Company?
No.
Although, wears a flat cap, doesn't he?
Although, if you want a little bit of a niche info, and hopefully listeners will enjoy this, Do you remember Frankie Kokoza?
Oh, was he an X Factor?
He wasn't
X Factor.
Was
he like a naughty boy? Was he naughty? Did he swear or say something racist?
So Frankie Kokoza he was the most affected contestant on X Factor ever. And I realise that's a fucking long list.
Was he a bit mid-noughties kind of...
He was really mid-noughties. He was kind of like a really safe...
Version
affected,
of the Libertines.
Yeah, like Pete Doherty type character. He released a song called She's Got a Motorcycle. I'm going to play it to you so you can just so you can hear it. You've been locked up for days and that's just not right. I want to steal you away, show you the nightlife. I
know it would be easy because I'm feeling tired and wheezy. What a cheeky little cockney. It seems much smoother with you. She's got a motorcycle, a big bad motorcycle. She knows how much I like it, she won't let me ride.
So who could forget such a seismic?
She's got a motorcycle and she wanted me to ride it.
Thing, then she's got a motorcycle by Frankie Kokoza, who got I believe either got kicked off of X Factor or left
smoking the reefer
under a cloud.
What was the cloud? A cloud of reef.
Smoking the old doob.
Yeah.
He also released a follow up single to She's Got a Motorcycle called Catastrophic Casanova, which failed to chart sadly. Anyway, the whole thing is building up to the idea that I saw a picture of him yesterday, with his top off. And he's got a Trotters Independent Traders tattoo.
Has he really?
On his chest.
Magic. He was born in Brighton. What's that about then?
Can anything be more mid-noughties than that? Anyway, hit TV drama Peaky Blinders has had an influence on Scotland's most popular baby names.
I don't know any of the characters in Peaky Blinders.
Arthur and Tommy were the two biggest risers. One from 46th to 26th and one from 89th to 48th. In 2019, inspired by the BBC drama set in 1920s Birmingham, Peaky Blinders. How do you feel about that, Pete? Peaky Blinder, how do you feel about that?
I've never watched any. It's the sort of show that I would have watched if it was on HBO, but because it was on BBC, I'm very snooty and sniffy about the BBC's drama output, that I see it as somehow being safe.
Yeah,
And I'm losing out, quite frankly.
One of the few things I learned from... you got very upset about the idea of there being a Peaky Blinders convention.
I didn't get really upset. It's just a bit low rent. If you're going to do it properly.
How would you do it?
Well, I've never seen Peaky Blinders, so I'd have very little frame of reference. Do they have motorcycles?
But one of the few things I learned, or I remember learning at university, is that the different audiences that different media things target... It's really interesting because the example was used was that if you swear before the watershed on Channel 4, generally speaking, there's no complaints.
Mm.
But if you swear on ITV before the watershed, people go mental.
Yeah.
And the implication there, and I'm not sure that's saying it's correct, and I'm not putting a judgment value on it. The implication there is that ITV viewers are less intelligent and therefore more reactive to that kind of stuff.
Is it not that people who are a bit more intelligent think that people on ITV shouldn't be subjected to foul language because they think they can't handle it? They're not grown up enough to handle it.
Is that a hot take?
And it's all a bit tawdry.
Is that a hot take, Pete? A
little bit.
I saw someone on Twitter
through my classist lens.
I saw someone on Twitter the other day saying that the Luke and Pete show takes are so lukewarm these days.
Oh, cool. I mean, he's had a go at you there, hasn't he?
Basically, yeah.
through your name. Can I just point out for the jury that She's Got a Motorcycle was from the album The Motorcycle.
At the end, Frankie rides a... So he spends most of the video... look, we shouldn't punch down too much on this, but Frankie...
He's having a lovely time. He's in Australia.
He's doing
Son was born in May 2019.
He's doing fine.
New
doing
father,
fine.
Frankie Kokoza.
I'm sure he won't mind a little gentle joshing.
A little gentle joshing.
But Frankie spends most of that music video with his hands in his pockets, kind of leaning into the camera, putting on a estuary accent. Mm. And but the culmination, the crescendo of the video, if you like, is that he rides a motorcycle through a burning ring of fire.
Cool.
And the video's at
budget.
The video's at great pains to show that it's actually him doing it.
Oh, right,
so
okay.
So he puts the helmet on, he's looking, he might even give like a nod and a wink to the camera, and then he rides through the ring of fire.
Can you actually see his face through the ring of fire?
It's a nod to Johnny Cash. He's a big Johnny Cash. One can only imagine what the follow-up single Catastrophic Casanova sounds like.
He's got an email address on his Twitter page that's frankiekokoza@live.co.uk. You don't see that very often anymore.
How do you feel about people who've still got a Live or a Hotmail email address?
I don't mind it, to be honest. It's probably the product's probably improved exponentially since I used Hotmail.
I had to stop it because I had so much junk.
Yeah. I think you've got always got, I've got about five or six emails that I've had to just give up on because
I bet you have.
Because of grot.
Yeah. Can I also bring to the table something that's been a real weight off my mind over the last week is that The Apprentice has finally finished, and the bloke who really looks like me and is a bit of a sort of cockney twit, that means I never have to hear from
him
anymore.
Did he win?
No, he didn't win. No.
He might be back in a kind of...
I follow him on Twitter. He's a great follower on Twitter. He seems like a lovely lad, but I just
Katie
get
Price,
endless...
Whatever name is.
I get... What do you mean?
No, it's not Katie.
Katie
Price,
Hopkins.
Katie Hopkins. He might be back as like a reactionary maniac.
No, he's too nice. He seems too nice. Right. Yeah, he's not a complete dickhead. Well, he is. Well, he's just a gentle...
He's a gentle dickhead.
Yeah, he's like a lovable kind of rogue type guy. So I don't think he would ever want to offend anyone, really.
Okay, how's your favourite chef in the chef competition going?
That was literally like listening to my nan. And how's your favourite chef competition going?
How's your favourite cook on the cooking programme?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do your parents understand the job you do? Do they get what it is?
Not now I've left the radio, no. Why?
I just wondered because my nan, she's sadly not with us anymore, but my nan wouldn't really know what I did.
It wouldn't be in
her frame of reference.
No.
What would you, if you're, for example, if Stuart was asked now what you did for a job, what would he say, do you think?
I don't think you'd really, yeah, I don't think you'd have much of a frame of reference about how I operate. We certainly have a similar sleeping patterns.
Ah. Yeah.
Can I interest you in a 18th century diving suit?
Yes, now. That's amazing.
Look at that.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Look at that.
Why the detail on the chest?
I think it's just where they have got extricated the person out of it. Maybe they've got to be stitched in or something. Basically, it looks like, if you remember the 90s TV show, Whizbit. It looks a bit like Whizbit, but made from animal leather and a big tube to the surface, presumably. A big rubber tube that goes to the surface, presumably supplying some kind of air to the person. It's wonderful.
So in a weird coincidence, which you would have no way of knowing in advance, the Diving Museum, the UK Diving Museum, is actually like 5 minutes from where my parents live.
Right.
And so there's loads of stuff like that. And they've got a few of the early diving suits outside on a display. And you had to be like almost astonishingly brave to be a diver back in those days. Like, I mean, just to the point of stupidity, essentially. Because it's essentially just, right, this might work.
Well, especially because, like, you presumably couldn't take a photograph down there. You could only go back up and go, you will not believe what I saw down there.
Yeah.
Unless you'd been in one of those diving suits, you wouldn't have seen it. So, I would not believe what's down there.
This might be apocryphal, but wasn't there talk that the first question that Yuri Gagarin was asked when he was the first person in space was, did you see God?
Right.
Because there's no kind of, people just didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, so he saw his big face.
And he looked.
He was looking down, he said, hello, Yuri. I said, hello, God.
He looked like Brian Blessed, who at that point was probably about 15. Pete, let's have a little break and then come back with some emails. I've got one, Pete, about Mega Man 3.
Okay, cool.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince.
Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey y'all, it's Farmer Mima, and today I'm going to show you what I've been doing to take care of the pantry moth situation.
So shrill. So very shrill.
It took a listener messaging me, typing Farmer Mima, for me to know even what she said there. So, that's strange. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com is the place to get in touch if you want.
Send us things you like. Send us things you don't like. Send us your opinions on, I don't know, Camila Cabello's racist language.
Oh, so what is the story there?
I think when she was 15, she posted a few things on her Tumblr. I read a few of them, and I was like, oh, she's 15. And then there's a lot of them.
Oh, really? Okay.
There's a lot of retweeted racist GIFs. My God, she was fixated. Wow.
This, I mean...
Such a talent as well.
I love Camila Cabello. She's excellent. I mean, I'm not making excuses for it, but is any part of this a reflection of the society we now live in, where young people have always been online and not been able to make their mistakes as kids? Because there is an age of criminal responsibility present in the UK. I know she's not British, but you know what I mean. Mm. Well, I mean, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's difficult. She was 15. There's a lot of them.
Right, okay.
It's the scale that surprises me, to be honest. Okay. It's not just one or two, Luke. She seems very fixated on KFC and watermelon. She seems very, you know, it just seems to be, you know, oh, jeez. Wow.
All right. Well, listen, Ewan from Aberdeen's been in touch. And he says, hi, guys. You're reminiscing over Sonic the Hedgehog's music, reminding me of some of my favourite video game themes. Mm. And one of the best, in my opinion, is the opening theme to 1990s Mega Man 3 on the Nintendo Entertainment System. Even if you're not familiar with the Mega Man franchise, and you are presumably, Pete.
I'm not at all. I've never played one.
The tune is worth the 31 seconds it takes for the beat to drop. I can imagine this being reworked into a club classic. Absolutely outstanding. I'm going to try and play it and see if we can agree with Ewan from Aberdeen. Here we go.
Oh no, I can't because I'm not logged into Spotify.
Oh.
Pete, if you feel for a bit, I'll get it set.
Well,
it
one of the composers on that game, Mega Man 3, was Yasuaki Fujita, and he has worked on Final Fight, Round 4, Industrial Area 1. He's worked on the Little Mermaid game, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, some big Disney franchises, but also a game called Punky Skunk.
Punky Skunk.
Punky Skunk.
All right, let's have a go at the Mega Man theme tune. Apparently it takes 31 seconds for the beat to drop. We're probably not going to get busted for royalties on this, so let's just go with it.
I think you'll be all right. Oh.
Not as I expected.
Let's get down and fight those bad boys now.
I like
shooting
this.
Your gun with like your helmet.
Here we go.
Come on. Just get down to it. Don't mind it.
Yeah, I quite like it.
Mate, he's from Osaka. These are Osaka flavours. Things are going on. People are partying. People are rocking out. It's a different frame of mind down there, yeah? It's like the Manchester of England.
Just let it breathe, baby.
Let it breathe.
Very
Come
good.
On.
Thanks for sending that in, Ewan. It reminds me of a guy. There's a singer-songwriter, I don't know if he's still around, called David E. Sugar.
Okay.
And he wrote a song. I think it's called We Weren't Put Together. And he used to do this thing that he used to call 8-bit rock, where he used to have a Game Boy that he had rewired, and he attached it to his guitar like a pedal.
Yeah.
And he was honestly really very good. Called We Weren't Put Together by David Sugar. Very, very good song. It reminds me a bit of Mega Man 3, so maybe that's where he got his inspiration from.
I find chiptune tunes quite dull. There, I said it.
There you go.
There, I said it.
You've got an email there, Peter?
I have got an email for you, Augustus Winsock.
We're kind of quite relaxed. It must be because it's Christmas week. Yeah.
Thank God it's Christmas. I did a pre-record for my final bit of Absolute Radio yesterday, and it was a Christmas Day show, and I was full of the joys of spread. I think it's the best thing I've ever done.
But do you think... Well, that's very good, and you could use it in your show reel, but do you think people listening who aren't aware of the radio industry know that you're not actually working on Christmas Day?
No, people are quite naive when it comes to stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I find that, yeah.
I've got, it's 11 p.m. I've got the lead singer of the Smashing Pumpkins coming on, and Billy Corgan, and people are texting in. I'm going, of course it's pre-recorded.
Yeah,
Billy Corgan is not hanging out with me at 11 o'clock at night.
Billy Corgan is very unlikely with a dear to your schedule.
Mm, but Blossoms will. Yeah.
But Pete, do you not have to give some kind of disclaimer to stop people texting in?
No.
I mean, that's dodgy, isn't it?
What do you mean? I'm not soliciting questions.
If I text in and say, play a song, brother, and you're never going to hear it because you're long gone, you're on the train to Hartlepool.
Tough titties.
Right.
Half tough old titties.
Some people have to learn the hard way.
Casper in Australia. Hi, Pete and the Luke. Long-term listener, first time. Murderer! Not really sure what that means.
Did you say something about a windsock?
Augustus Windsock. Do either of you, or perhaps one of your many, many listeners, that's over egging the pudding, remember an animated road safety campaign from the late 70s, Yes, I Am That Old, which featured an old man on a bicycle teaching us wayward kids how to turn right when riding a push bike? The old man was called, I think, Augustus Windsock. And after he completed the safe right-hand turn, the end line of the ad went, that must be why he stayed alive so long. That must be why he stayed alive so long. Right. None of my friends believe it was anything more than an e-fueled fever dream, and my YouTube digging has proven fruitless, but I'm sure it was a thing. Help me, Obi-Wan. You're my only hope. 5 stars and a succulent Chinese meal to you both. Casper in Australia.
Would you like to hear the advert in question?
Have you found it?
I've only found it narrated by Kenny Everett.
Oh, okay, right, yeah, cool.
Well, here we are in Oak Apple Road to see Augustus Windsock, the oldest living cyclist in the world, overtaking a parked vehicle. What a superb opportunity this is for all young cyclists to see the master in action. What elbows. What knees.
This is like a cartoon of an old man riding a bike.
God, I miss Kenny Everett.
Traffic behind him. He makes a signal. Nothing sloppy there. Absolutely clear to anything coming behind. And now he moves out so he can see ahead. Slows up to let traffic go by. And now smartly past the vehicle and tucked in again close to the curb. When you see an action like that so gracefully, so correctly performed, you understand just why he stayed alive so long.
It's good.
So long.
So I thought it would be Kenny Everett doing a parody of it, but it's actually Kenny Everett just doing the advert.
I mean, I'm not being funny, Chris Wootton. You've clearly got the internet because you've emailed us.
Yeah.
Luke found that in minimal 30
And that's
seconds.
Me, by the way.
That's Luke, yeah.
Yeah.
He's not even got YouTube Premium.
If Luke or Pete had to be entered into some kind of internet speed challenge, we would not be entering me.
My friend Daniel, he does a... when back in the day when there was that... 411? What did you used to ring to get...
Oh, Ask Me Anything.
Ask Me Anything.
No, I know what you mean.
The one of those kind of information services.
I can't remember the number.
He was like one of the few people in the country with internet or decent internet anyway. And he would get paid to just do the searches.
I think they paid you like 40p an answer. Because I remember me and my friend Duncan.
40p an answer seems very high.
Me and my friend Duncan, who was the taskmaster, the aforementioned taskmaster, we looked into doing that because we had no job after uni.
Mm.
And maybe not 40p, but I remember it being a thing where you could actually go and do it as a job.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Isn't that kind of fascinating how, you know, they tell that story, I can't remember who tells it, about Kodak's share price,
right?
Like it was, they were a really good profitable company, and then like in record time because of technology they just went completely obsolete. And obviously that can happen.
Fair smash of arrogance as well.
I'm sure, but in this case, isn't it mad how a company or an idea like that is almost at the same time really kind of revolutionary and new, but then instantly out of date? Straight away. So the spike would be, 6 months?
But again, they must see that coming. But then they'll be telling themselves that all people will want to go on the internet, and it's probably true for a few more years after that, but still, the boom. The people who sell fascias for mobile phones.
Yeah, another one.
I guess they've moved on to just covers, but it's still a worry.
Send your suggestions in, hello@lukeandpeach.com, for something that was simultaneously really futuristic and new and also almost instantly dated.
Okay.
Because that's a great example of them. But I remember going mad about... I used to get one every Christmas.
Yeah.
For like 3 or 4 years. I'd have a Portsmouth one, and I'll change it out for another one. Yeah, it's good stuff, that. Let's squeeze one more Ring-tons. Email in. This is a bit of a blast from the past here. And it's from Brian in Lebanon. Love that we've got a listener in Lebanon.
Yeah.
And it's about tea. Remember we talked a while back about tea and how different countries drink different types of tea.
Okay.
And Brian says, hi guys, I'm writing in regards to episode 198, where you two were discussing international tea drinking habits. Luke was surprised at how Scandinavians don't put milk in their tea, and Pete said most of the world don't use tea bags, and it's probably a predominantly British thing. I'm here to say, says Brian, that tea customs are varied across a lot of different cultures. As Luke said, Americans don't really have an affinity for tea, and usually
sweet tea.
Heat hot water in the microwave and throw a tea bag in there. Now, I've not got experience of that, and I've spent a lot of time in the US, so maybe that's a different part of the US to what Brian's talking about. He says, I live in Lebanon, and tea bags are also very common, although we do use loose leaf tea here as well, depending on the source. My partner is half Russian, and Russians drink tea by adding hot water to a concentrate called zavarka. This zavarka is essentially made by brewing copious amounts of the chosen tea in a big decorative pot called a samovar. Until a thick, dark liquid is obtained, essentially super concentrated tea. Mm. A small amount of the concentrate is enough for one cup of tea, and so you just drop it in there kind of as and when.
Nice.
A very similar practice also happens in Middle Eastern countries, though the container is less elaborate and ornate, and almost the whole of the Middle East, from Turkey to Iran, drink tea in very small cups. This ensures that the tea you're drinking never gets cold, so that you're constantly having to refill from a hot source. Concerning milk, I believe the British are the primary protagonists of that particular tea consumption method. Although maybe in the Commonwealth this is a more prevalent practice. I'm not particularly fond of tea myself. You seem to know a fucking lot about it, Brian. And my wife always gets incensed and threatens divorce whenever I add milk on the rare occasions that I do partake. Keep up the good work, Brian. A tea expert from the Lebanon.
Yeah.
What other show this week?
Fascinating.
Are you going to get that from?
Well, I remember back in the day I used to buy, I can't remember, it's a very 70s product, I simply recall, but it was like this concentrate of coffee. You should pour that into a cup and add a bit of hot water and milk.
That's kind of how Keurig works, right?
What's Keurig?
Keurig, you get little pots of liquid in them and you stick them in, you put the thing down, you press the button, it squeezes.
Is it liquid or pit or
I think
powder?
I think it's liquid.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I think so.
Wouldn't that kind of be have storage implications? Oh.
Who knows? Listen, you know you get salmon fishing in the Yemen, and you've got tea experts in the Lebanon.
Exactly. Similar exactly. Thing. Let's get out of here, Luke.
Yeah, let's do. Let's go. Thanks for everyone who's sticking with us for this multimedia Christmas week special of Luke and Pete's show. We'll be back on Thursday, which is Boxing Day. Maybe we'll talk about some of Pete's Boxing Day traditions. They'll all be filthy, and most of them will be alcohol soaked, I'm sure. We'll see you on Thursday.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.